Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined as we have the privilege of being from time to time by one of the forces of nature in the national security arena. She is Elaine Donnelly, the founder and president of an indispensable organization, the Center for Military Readiness. She has been truly a keeper of the flame on the question of the culture of the United States military, something that most of us who have no experience of it firsthand either don't know anything about or don't appreciate its importance. Elaine Donnelly does, and she has been leading the fight to protect it from, well, social experimentation and political machinations of one kind or another for many years. Notably, as a member of the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services, Stakowitz. And Elaine, it's always a privilege to, as I say, have you with us to talk about the important issues, and I can't think of a better time to do it than in the immediate aftermath of Memorial Day, because the people who serve need your voice and need it heard loud and clear. We're glad to be able to give you a platform for doing it. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for all the kind words. And yes, Memorial Day was a kind of a sad one in many ways because of what's happening in the Middle East with the fights that went on, the people who were killed, their families, how they must feel. Yes, it's a very sobering event any year, but especially this year. And I hope that people will start to think about just how important the armed forces are, the all-volunteer force. We are getting into a stage now where defense is not just an abstract. People are concerned about enemies. They are scared of enemies that the president doesn't seem to be worried about. And when we look at other countries, and in particular an article that was in the Washington Times today about the Israeli Defense Force, I think it's worth noting this article because it shows that in Israel they do take warfare seriously. They take their national defense seriously.
They have to. They've got no choice.
They have to. They have no choice, right. And we are not living under the threat that they are. We have no particular reason to put women in armored tanks or in the infantry or special operations forces, but we would be wise, our military leaders would be wise to see, what did the Israelis decide to do just recently? Well, they decided that they would not put women into armored tanks because the physical requirements are so very great. And this is remarkable because in this country, people have the impression, well, this is all a done deal. Women in land combat, special operations forces, no problem, piece of cake. Well, it's not turning out that way.
And that the Israelis have been doing it for years, when in fact this is not the case. This piece by Rowan Scarborough, who has been really doing incalculably impressive work on this for quite some time, Elaine, as you know, at the Washington Times, it really makes the point that much of what we think we know just ain't so. And in this case especially, it can get people killed. So as you were talking about Memorial Day, what would be particularly tragic would be were we to not only compound the losses that we've already suffered in the nation's wars, but needlessly exacerbate that by having people who simply can't cut it physically in some of these ground combat positions.
Right. I watched the concert, as we always do every year, that's broadcast on PBS, the Memorial Day concert on the Mall in Washington, D.C., and watching the young family, the two, little girl, little boy grown up now and telling their story, when you see families and the grief that they suffer, it really hits hard to think that some people may lose their lives because of policymakers who pretend that men and women are exactly the same. All the evidence is to the contrary. The British recently came out with a report saying even the so-called physical elites, women who are extra strong, they suffer injury rates at far greater rates than men do. The Israelis have recognized this. The British have recognized it. And yet in this country, we're saying, oh, it's just a career opportunity, full speed ahead. This morning, I spoke to a Navy official talking about the 25% quota that the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Howard, wants to impose on the Navy. And I said to him, wait a minute, you're saying that a cohort of people who are known to be less strong and less deployable and a whole range of social issues come with it, you're going to have a 25% quota anyway? And he said, oh, no, it's not a quota. It's an assessment goal, or, you know, semantics like that to cover up what's really going on, a social agenda.
You know, one of my colleagues is a relatively slight-built force recon Marine, and he was telling us the other day that he was obliged on his deployments to wear between his armor and the various pieces of gear that he had to carry, his weapon and pack and so on, 125 pounds worth of material. And he didn't weigh a whole lot more than that himself. And yet he had the physical strength to do it without suffering injury and without degrading his performance, amazingly. But that just ain't so. And you mentioned the British experience, Elaine, and their study, as I understand it, came down four square against putting women in these kinds of positions. What has been the experience of our own services as they've been engaging in this kind of experimentation at the direction of the Obama administration?
Well, the research that was announced or began in 2012 has produced nothing that makes the case that women can be interchangeable with men in the combat arms. Let's look at infantry officer course run by the Marines at Quantico, Virginia. 29 women attempted that course, and we respect them for trying. None of them made it through. At Ranger training, 19 women qualified to go into the program. Actually, it was 20, and one fell out before it began. Only 8 got through part of it, but none of them made it all the way through, and they're going to recycle very soon. So where's the evidence that this is a workable proposition? It's all based on theory.
Theory and wishful thinking on the one hand, and the demands of, you know, let's face it, those generally on the left who feel this is a matter of equality and that people will not be able to rise through the ranks to the degree that they would otherwise do if they haven't had this kind of combat arms experience. And
well, that's just not true.
Speak to that point, if you would, please. But also, before we run out of time, quickly, if you could talk about the question of whether should this engineering be allowed to go forward, despite all of the evidence, women will find themselves involuntarily put in these positions.
Of course, it'll be involuntary. But I think people need to understand it isn't just my voice that's talking about this. Recently, we sent to both the Senate and House leaders a letter signed by 94 distinguished Americans, both retired military and leaders of organizations, including yourself. And the letter says to Congress, look, you need to see the research results before you allow the Pentagon to move ahead on this. It's all about oversight. But Representative Loretta Sanchez, who's going to be running for the Senate in California, she offered an amendment. It got into the House bill saying that Congress will have no say unless you count 30 calendar days, likely in August, when this thing could be rammed through by the administration without Congress having a say. This is bad policy. It is certainly contrary to the idea of congressional oversight, the necessity, the mandate that's in the Constitution.
It is. And, you know, Elaine, what it fits into a larger pattern of, I'm afraid, is a practice of basically ceding what are fundamental constitutional responsibilities of the Congress. As you say, oversight on the one hand, but also, you know, to raise and equip the armed forces of this country, and not to take responsibility in this fashion is, well, as you said, Elaine, earlier, possibly to condemn people needlessly to their deaths because the people to their left and right simply aren't up to the job. Elaine, again, I appreciate tremendously the work you do at the Center for Military Readiness and your willingness to share with us from time to time your insights and warnings. I hope they're heeded by the Congress and look forward to talking to you about these matters in the future very soon. I look forward to talking to the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Afte. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.